The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So what exactly does it mean when you end a novel? How many boxes do you have to check off? We'll be checking that out in this episode of I Should Be Writing, which is season 17, episode 64.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there! Welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, and this is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday live on Twitch at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and then later it is put in the RSS feed for podcast listeners to enjoy at their leisure. I'm a writer, podcaster, and editor, and been getting a little behind on things, so I was very proud of the fact that I actually worked out three outlines for my next book this morning. I'd been noodling them through them, and I stole a little bit from Agatha Christie, because who doesn't? Either you do it consciously or you do it unconsciously. I did it consciously this time. Stole a little bit from Murder Under the Sun. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been working on. My producer here is also one of our producer's escape artists, and she's been very patiently waiting for me to get a host spot to her, so I got that done too. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but all these are just, I'm understanding more about ADHD and how a simple task, for some reason, your messed up ADHD brain can look at it and it can look like a mountain. Even though your logical mind is screaming, this will take you 20 minutes tops. And your brain is still going, I can't do it. So that's fun. So that's what I've been working on. I've been feeling good about it. I was glad I got it done and in. I just keep imagining how I'm going to feel when I do the last two things on my list. It's like, am I going to feel like lighter? Am I going to float? Am I going to feel really tired, like good tired? Like marathon tired and just go to bed and sleep really hard. I don't know. It's going to be magical. I don't know. And as for good news, I like to talk about good news. If you have any good news in the chat, please let me know. If you have good news later on, please email me and we'll put it in the next episode. So yeah, I like to do good news. My good news is that I visited my ill relative yesterday and things look really good. And I think that was a big load off of me worry-wise. So, still kind of taking it day by day. I'm trying not to get all excited that everything's going to be 100% better from now on. But there were good things, good signs, I think. So that really helped me out a lot. And not a ton of good news. It's just the getting back into writing. This will be my last stream for a week, and looking forward to next week. I love streaming, as I've said. I love it. I just don't like the other end of the streaming that involves all the production and posting. That takes so much longer than I ever expected to. You'd think I'd time it and then could plan it out, but that never works out either. I hate feeling like I'm at the mercy of the ADHD brain, but sometimes that's the way it feels. But if y'all have any good news, I would love to hear it. Lee says, the neighborhood chipmunk has stopped screaming at the world. You know, that's good news. If you play the zombie, it's more of a city building game, but it's about city building, city building during the zombie apocalypse game Rebuild and Rebuild 3, there's a pretty frequent event that has a banshee. They call it the banshee, and it's a zombie who just stands outside the walls and screams all the time. And the morale in your base goes down as it screams, and you have to go out there and kill it. So I fully believe the chipmunk screaming was a lot. I bet if you kill it, you won't get a named blade like you would if you kill the zombie banshee, but that's way it goes in fiction. You know, named swords are so much more available in fiction than they are in our world. Named swords that just kind of fall out of zombies or, you know, lakes or stones. Yeah. Swords live in weird places. But I'm pretty sure chipmunks are really loud for being so tiny. My relative has a rat terrier. Its jaws do not move when it barks. It opens its mouth and just makes noise at you. Sounds like it's caught its head in a door and it's screaming for help. But no, it's just person in my room. Mouth opens and then just the sound. It's awful. It's horrific. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Oh, God. It's not my dog. If nobody else has any good news, I don't think I have any. The topic today is from the email, but I think I gave the other good news that I had in email. I gave that on Tuesday. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, a good news came through on Patreon. I apologize. Lucien, you sent this to me a while ago. Oh man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Lucien's good news a while ago was I recently approved the final layout proofs with my publisher, Friesen Press, for my debut novel, The Sequence. Should be released this summer, so it should already be out. So yeah, check out The Sequence by Lucien Telford. Congratulations, Lucien. I'm sorry again. I moved past that. And Josh wanted us to know that somebody was asking about, we've talked about publishing poetry here a couple of times. There's an active poetry community on Twitter. If you start following Copper Canyon Press, you'll see the retweets of other publishers and poets, and then if you follow them, before long, you'll know a bunch of poetry presses. Thank you, Josh. Really appreciate that. Another thing about getting behind on my podcast production is I forget everything about show notes that I was going to do, so I'm going to try to write that down this time. Yeah, I should get more moderators so I could get someone to, like, mark down show notes as I make them. That'd be neat. Anyway, so that is it. We're going to do the yay button for the chipmunk. And for anybody who did not feel like telling their good news, or you're thinking of it too late, that yay button is for you. So I had a good question come through email recently, and that was about endings. And so I thought we could talk about endings, because it's a really good question. And it's one of those things that sounds like, well, of course, you just end the story. But what the hell does that mean, actually? And let me see the actual question. Here we go. After seeing the series ending of The Good Place, I was left amazed. Then I began to wonder what makes a good ending for a novel. In case it was not obvious, I'm not talking about sequel baiting or cliffhangers where a possible sequel is teased. I'm referring to ending as in the finale, the conclusion of the story, the ending of a single standalone or a book series. I want to make my readers sad that the story is ending, but happy and or satisfied with the ending without having to stuff my book with more endings than Lord of the Rings movies. Have any tips or tricks? And this is from ThinkDen. It's a really good question, because a lot of people have... Some people go too far, and some don't go far enough. People love Neal Stephenson's books, but they agree almost as a whole that his endings are far too abrupt. Some of the more literary minded around us end things in more of a... See, I respect a lot of the authors that do this, even though I don't personally like what they do. So I'm trying to be very polite about it. Because it's a legit way of doing it. It's just not something I like. And that's... it's more... It almost feels like the day ends, not the story. And I don't know what those stories are trying to say. So, for me, when it... A novel should have one major plot. Yes, if you're really good at epic fantasy, you can interweave a whole bunch of plots, but like Lord of the Rings is the, you know, Sauron awakens and sends all the orcs out. I don't remember the exact setup. It probably has something to do with the ring, Gollum, but really, that's the plot. That's the catalyst, anyway. Maybe the plot is Frodo has to take the ring. But there's so much more happening. And so you decide your topic. For me right now, that's easy because I'm writing murder mysteries in space. I've got all sorts of things happening to my characters, and there will be a book two. And so all the characters from book one, a lot of the characters from book one, will come back. But for me, it's the murder mystery has to be solved. Because it's a series, can I take some of the more personal conflicts with the people and leave those as hanging threads? Yes, but that's not what you asked. It's interesting that you brought up The Good Place, because I loved The Good Place so much. And I don't know if I liked the last series, the last season. I didn't dislike it, but I can tell you, like, the second season was... The latter half of the first season and the second season were almost perfect for me. And it just... I was just amazed at everything they were doing with these characters. I think it's a personal thing. But for some reason, it makes me really, really sad when somebody ends something by splitting up the family. It's something I learned in a TV writing class, that most sitcoms, what they do is they build a family. Either they are a family, like Roseanne or Everybody Loves Raymond, but it's also like in Cheers. I'm talking about really old sitcoms here, I know. But even in The Good Place, it's like they're building a family. They're building Janet and Michael and Eleanor and Chidi and Jason and Tahani. They're building that family. But it's like at the end of Friends. At the end of Friends, everybody goes off and does their own thing. And that made me sad. And I know that that was the ending they wanted to put on it. They wanted to close that apartment door and have Monica and Chandler go to their suburb and Joey move to the West Coast and have a very failed spinoff, and Phoebe go to her new husband's place, etc. And Rachel and Ross do whatever they're gonna do. And Cheers, sorry we're closed, yes. For some reason, I like the idea of the stories continuing. But a lot of times when, especially with TV, they feel the need to split them up so you know that there's no more story to come. I don't know. This is purely a personal thing. But I think what you want to do is you want to think about what your main topic is. Is it a murder mystery? Is it dude loses his job, wants to get a new job? I mean, those are the plots you need to finalize. If you make a big deal, if this is a standalone, you make a big deal out of other things, love stories or other conflicts, familial conflicts, things like that, then you'll probably want to get those finalized. And, you know, you can remember what what your goal was with a certain person, with a character. I'm going to go back to TV again. And I apologize since this just ended a year or so ago or 2 years ago. I'm a little nervous about spoiling, but spoilers for Schitt's Creek. One of the main issues with, I can't remember anybody's name. Alexa. One of the issues with Alexis? Alexa is the personal assistant. Alexis is, she just defines herself by, going with men to very weird places and getting out of those situations, but her life pretty much revolved around men. And as her heart got broken during the series, she began to realize her own poor choices. And she found someone with whom she made a really good relationship with. But then the writers wanted to show her growing as a person who didn't need a man. And because of where their jobs were taking them, and these were jobs that both she and her boyfriend had made part of themselves. This isn't just like, work that you can get fixed up for, not like a job that you could get somewhere else. This was like Ted had the opportunity to study on the Galapagos Islands, which was huge. And she actually was creating a successful business when she never thought that that's something she could do. And they both agreed they loved each other very much and they couldn't be together. And so it's like this responsible decision she made that broke her heart. That is her ending. It's not a happy ever after with a man. It is acknowledging that there's love, but acknowledging that there's more to life. And, yes, they turned off the lights in Babylon 5. That was JMS who did that. Yes, it was JMS. Babylon 5 was different, though, because I'm not going to go into all the political stuff that went on behind the scenes in Babylon 5, but the last episode of Babylon 5 was 20 years in the future from the last, the season finale was 20 years in the future. So that felt a little different. I also don't believe that there was no technology that could have brought Marcus back, and I'll die on that hill. But anyway. So you need to find your main topic, your main conflict, and resolve that. And then you need to see what is going on in other people's lives that need to be resolved. And this is a personal decision. I'm trying to think of it of something that doesn't need to be resolved. I think if somebody wants something, that's what drives the plot. Somebody wants something and something stands in their way. If they don't get it, they need to be in a place where that's okay, or they're utterly defeated. Sometimes people stop writing books. A Song of Ice and Fire is certainly one of them. It's like the book just kept going and going and going, and so he found a stopping point, and like in book 3, like resolved one big conflict for one person, and then let everything else hang. And that was very frustrating for people. And then you've got, there's a lot of epic fantasies that kind of do the, here's what happens to everybody. Now again, this is my personal opinion, but I like that. I really do. And 6 Feet Under, the TV show, did that in a weird way where it said how everybody died, because that's what the show was about. It's always started with someone dying. And then you had the family who ran the mortuary, you had their personal conflicts, but so, of course, at the end of the series, you had to see how they all died. I like the here's where everyone ended up, because it kind of shows a progression of the story that you can think up. I feel like I'm going around in circles. I'm sorry. I just keep trying to think of different ways books have approached things like that. I do like the tie it up with the bow, but some people don't. Some people want to imagine what happens. I've talked about this recently, I think. The Last Holiday with Queen Latifah and LL Cool J, it ends with, again, it's like over 20 years old. I always feel bad spoiling endings. It ends with her finding out she's not really sick. The love of her life chases her to that other country. I don't even know where she was. To find her. And, you know, he confesses his love. She's not sick. And she's pretty much told her boss he's a terrible person and needs to probably be better. And that's great. It's like, that's the ending of that story. She's not sick and she can go on and live her life. But it decided to tell us what happened to everybody anyway. So we found out a year later, she was opening her own restaurant. The evil boss became a monk. The tired and stressed out doctor at the health guy at the corporation also quit to become a monk and was not happy about the CEO thing. The really, really sleazy boss died. And the very, very powerful and nosy woman at the hotel opened her own private detective firm. I mean, little things like this, they're really, really nice. But if it had ended with Georgia just being happy that she had confirmed this love with this guy and she wasn't dying, that would have been enough, because that's what the story was about. So, as long as you make sure you tell the ending of your story, I think that's the most important part. Right, you mentioned The Good Place. I got off on a tangent, I'm sorry. Because, as I said, I don't like the whole we're gonna split everybody up because it's the end of the series. The Good Place ended with a really weird idea. If you haven't watched it, The Good Place is about people moving through the afterlife. And they find when they get to the good place that everybody there is extremely unhappy because they've been given everything they wanted and they're bored and there's nothing else. And so Eleanor and her crew decide that they can build a system to where once you've decided, you know, once you've become good enough to deserve the good place, you can ascend, which is basically stop existing. And for a while, that felt really sad because it was all something they needed to decide on themselves. And as it went on, all of them, except for one of them, decided it was time to stop existing. And since they were already dead, it felt weird to say it was dying. But it felt weird. And I think that might just be me whining about I want a happier ending than that. But I don't know. But I know a lot of people did like it. A lot of people loved it. So I think that might be my personal thing. But I mean, I don't know how you can get any more ending than that. Although it did imply the story did continue because Michael got to have a life down on Earth. And they did this whole thing where Eleanor decides to cease to exist and she walks through the place in the woods where you make this decision. And, like, her soul becomes this little bright dot that like, floats on down to Earth and, like, lands on Michael's lapel as he goes on about his normal day at Earth. And it's just so delightful. Yeah, it's... I feel like I'm just sitting here pontificating and not actually answering the question. There's so many ways to handle it, and that's really it. With Stevenson, he really does finish the main conflict, and then it's over. I've read Snow Crash. I don't remember a lot of it. It was not my favorite. I don't know. It's like Diamond Age was just mind-blowing for me. Snow Crash was boring. I think it was the whole... I was listening to the audiobook, and I just heard the words Namshub of Enki far too many times. Started to tune it out. But the Diamond Age ends with, like, the story is about a young girl who's pretty much raised by a primer, and she searches for the woman who was the voice of the primer. And while the woman didn't write the words, she put her energy into it to try to help this little girl and raise her. And so she sees this woman as her mother, and it's her search for that. There's so much more going on in the book. So much more. And so, like, the ending is when Nell finds her. And, like, that's it. It's like, she finds her, she saves her life, they're done. It's over. And he just kind of stopped writing. We have no idea what happened with the larger conflicts. And not larger as in larger in the story, but, you know, this is a very personal story of a girl trying to find her mother while the country is falling apart around them. There's also a mouse army. I forgot what happened with the mouse army. So you gotta find a good balance for that. The balance of there's the larger story and then there's the plot points on the smaller story. If you want to really end it, then everything needs, if not, you know, tied up in a bow, at least some feeling of finality. Okay, I thought of an example. Let's say you've got a plot C character who has a lot of trouble standing up for themselves. And they help the main characters go do their thing, whatever it is, and they come out the bottom, they come out the other side, and they're a changed person. And we find out maybe tomorrow they'll see their father for the first time in 3 years. And that's it. We don't need to know what's happening with the father. We're going to trust that the changes in this person, since this person's story was not the main one, we're going to trust that the changes in this person means that that encounter will go differently than we would have expected it to at the beginning of the book. So that person reached an ending, but their plot was not important enough to keep going. That's a kind of one way to think about it. I think of the classics and how abrupt the endings of Lord of the Flies and of Mice and Men are. I don't remember of Mice and Men, but I do remember Lord of the Flies was very... Yeah, that was awful. It became really English class theme at the end when the boys start to cry and the rescuer is just like unimpressed. Just, like, looking down on them for crying over their, what they had been through. And again, perpetuating that myth of, you know, stiff upper lip, you can handle yourself. Men! And Lord of Flies was not a book with a happy ending. Even though they did get rescued. I forgot about the ending of Mice and Men. You want to remind me of what that is? I think Lenny died, didn't he? I can't remember. But yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about the subject is, in short, know what your main plot is. Finish that. Make sure people know what's going on. Oh, right, Nick kills Lenny and then goes for a drink. That's also a very English literature class. Yeah, wow. Yeah, Lenny had killed a little girl, right? And of course, he didn't know what he was doing. That doesn't mean the little girl's any less dead. Mary Robinette Cowall's got all the good, quick descriptions of things. Mary Robinette Cowall touts the last in, first out rule of resolving plot lines. I like that. I don't think I've heard her talk about that. So yeah, last in, first out is just you resolve the little plots as you go and then resolve the biggest one last, I guess. Lenny kills someone's wife, I see. And then you decide whether the smaller plots need to be resolved or just end. You probably should mention everything that you're leaving hanging, or make sure that those plots had endings earlier, or resolutions. Because people will wonder. I think I left a plot thread in Six Wakes that I feel still feel guilty about. But, I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast here, because we've been going for a little while. Thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing. You can find me at mightymer@gmail.com or my website, merverse.com. You can see the show live on Twitch, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 p.m., twitch.tv/mightymer. You can find me on Twitter sometimes, mightymer. And you can support the Patreon and the Ko-fi at patreon.com/mightymer, ko-fi.com/mightymer. And that helps me keep the lights on, and these are a lot of lights. They're very warm. But I'll see you not next week, but the following week after I take some time off. But I'll still be getting stuff done, and so should you, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. Yeah, I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.